All the excuses people make. You've got to go out and love. Love and love and love. Well, beloved, I suppose you have discovered in your reading through John that having got to this place where he says you are commanded to love one another, well, I should not be attracted, he's not my type, you know. You are commanded to love one another. You're being merely human if you go on this, that and the other. All the excuses people make. You've got to go out and love. Love and love and love. That is to be your first emotion. That you go out in love. All right? Check yourself up. I don't mean merely human love. You don't want to marry every woman you see or every man you see or anything like that. That's cinema talk. You and I have to know what love is. Love, love, love. The love of God has no sex in it at all. And by the way, you dear ladies, you must know that you are included in the word sons. In the Old Testament, you'll find sons and daughters. Only once will you find it in the New Testament. And he's quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting it in its Old Testament setting. So the son is the comprehended word. I'm afraid a little girl was not born in the manger. You are included in this great comprehensive word, son or brethren. We dull of understanding, we say, well, sister, or something like that. It's polite, but you remember that deep down inside, God never had any daughters. He had a son. And that's a big thing for you in this present climate, where it looks to me as though the ladies are going to take over the world anyway, the running of it. Well, if I've offended your taste, like, apologies. But there it is. You and I are to see these great things. And unless we do, beloved, we shall displease our Lord. It doesn't matter about what they say in Parliament or anything. There is no Parliament in heaven. And you and I are to see what it's about. He says, these things I command you. And then he goes on saying, you're going to be hated in verse 19. I'm going swiftly as I can. In verse 19, follow it in the reading. You're going to be hated. You do not belong to this world. Now you be careful about following the world's patterns. The world's... All right, you've got to not see whether you dress according to what the world is saying. You've got to dress to please God, not yourself. People say, I want to dress to please myself. What you have to do is to be pleased with what God wants. Understand? So have I. It's all right, we're all in the same thing. The world's fashions are generally fashioned by homosexuals. Did you know that? A bunch of homosexuals, or dictated from Hollywood, or something like that. They never talk about the dog walk. They always talk about the cat walk. Here is the thing for you to understand what it's about, beloved. The devil is turning everything upside down. Wonderful thing to understand what it's about. No Victorian age has to set it, I'm quite sure. This day, this age will never set it. This is the big thing, to go on steadily with God. When you go to buy anything, ask the Lord, should I buy those shoes? Do you ever thought of doing it? Should I buy that dress? That suit? Shirt, trousers, whatever you want. It's a big thing. It shows where your first look is unto Jesus. I could break off and tell you so many stories here, but I won't. It's so wonderful. You were of the, if you were of the world would love it all. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so we can go down. Verses that need no great mental or spiritual concentration to understand. You can dig out for yourself, and please do that. Because students never have enough time for anything. They always complain. All students complain they don't have enough time. In school or whatever it is. But you read them. You've got to be hated. Hated by the world. You understand that? And you know why? For Jesus' sake. They both seen and hated both me and my Father. That is the highest place you can reach so far as the world's concerned, that they just hate you. So if they put you to the sword or whatever they do, you must take cheerfully the spoiling of your goods. Hebrews will tell you that. Yet I know people, if they get their car scratched, men, oh, wonderful man, they go to church, take family to church, go worship, take communion, but if you scratch their car, you see, that shows you the value you put on mere lumps of tin, aren't they, really? Come down to it. That's all they are. It's such a big thing, though, to realize this truth that God is after. He calls it separation unto him. To please you, Father. And then he passes on. This is it. I'm looking right to the end of the chapter now. When the Comforter, verse 26, that's the Holy Ghost, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Well, is the Holy Ghost testifying of Jesus in you? Where does your mind fly? Where does it go? Dreaming of the how much time is wasted in dreams. And the devil is famous because your makeup is what it is, of making some of those dreams filthy. There is a deliverance from all that. It's called entire sanctification. Entire sanctification. Alright, chapter 16. We have about 40, 45 minutes now on this. Hopeless, but still, here we go. He says some wonderful things, as John, in this chapter. We're not now in the stage, of chapter 3, where people will think they're doing, verse 2, I mean, of chapter 16, they think they'll be doing God's service if they kill you. All right. The big thing is to see this wonderful truth that God is trying to get into our hearts. Take verse 7. I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That word expedient there, in that verse, means exactly in the Greek, for your bearing together. Bear you together. What a marvelous thing it is. God does, he wants this togetherness, you know. The kernel of the idea from which it comes is that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. That's what it's wrong. Bear you together. Hallelujah. The Trinity are famous for wonderful things, but this is one of the wonderful things. When God sent his Son, he said, my Son, his Father, I love you, here, my Son. So the Father draws you to the Son. He said, and nobody can come to me except my Father draw him, he said it. Right. Just the Son was ending his life on earth, he said, no, it's the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. We are in the era, if I may put it this way, of the Holy Spirit. He is here. And of course, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, you say, it's not me, it's Jesus. You see, and you go back, Jesus, and say, oh, it's my Father. He loves you. He sent me, and that's how they are. This is true love. Nobody exulting or in themselves or exalting themselves. No, not one of them. So lovely, and in a word, how far are we from God's plan and ideal? To be what God wants you to be is a marvelous achievement. I've just said no to myself. I was going to illustrate it by experience, but let's go on, shall we? This is the last really thing, but he tells you this in verse 7. I tell you the truth. Is for your bearing together. If I don't go away, the Holy Ghost won't come. They were never in a place for everything to be focused on him to the exclusion of the other two. And you must have this understanding in you. Sometimes you want to shout, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've been in congregation when that was going. Oh, wonderful. Your eyes are focused on Jesus because the Holy Ghost has done it in making you. But this is what God is after. God is God in three persons. And until we get this firmly fixed in our hearts, we've really missed the best. The trouble with Christians, they get onto the edges or onto the borders and they think they're at the center. That's the trouble. You've got to go in, son, daughter, you've got to go in, and in, and in, and in, and in, and in. Till in that, oh, I mustn't really, but I'm going to. In that lovely epistle that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, just go through it in your spare time and you'll find it's the epistle of in. Just underline it in your Bible, in. I think it occurs nearly 100 times in the epistle. See, Paul's in. Chosen, for instance, by the Father, in Christ. In, I'm there. You're introduced to that in the first chapter. In, I've called it stupid word. There's no such word, but I've coined it. It's the epistle of inity. Inity, it's all in. In. Oh, you say it's only a preposition? I know. But I've invented another word. Please don't quote me. Here is the big thing, beloved. When he comes, it not only bear you together, but this also will happen. The world will be reproved of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And you know who that prince is, don't you? The devil. Listen, get your ears wide open to this. Satan was judged at Calvary. That's where he was judged. Oh, but he's still working and working and working, but the judgment was set. The prince of this world, that's not Jesus. Jesus is not the prince of the world, he's the prince of glory. You understand? Tremendous to get hold of this truth. The prince of the world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. So you understand that the Holy Ghost is a listening person. He listens. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Amen. I believe I mentioned this the other day, but let me give another emphasis. When I realized the truth of that verse long ago, I knew I was right when God had taught me not to preach from notes, but from the moving of the Spirit in my heart. He will show me. He will show me. Do you believe that? You got to. And I will warn you, the longest time I ever preached was in a place called the Longcroft. 6 hours straight off. You would have hated it, wouldn't you? Well, we did have a break for necessary things, I'll say no more than that. We came straight back and went on. 6 hours, you say? Yes, but they weren't like you. You couldn't stand it. They were glued to their seats. I'm not practicing it now, but I guarantee you I could carry on all day if my voice held up. This is the whole thing. Here is, I sometimes say when I'm preaching, if you read this book, you've read my notes. Strive for it, man, woman. Strive for it. But you've got to go God's way, see. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Got to be. Not, I've been to the Bible school at Birmingham or Oxford University or something like that. You go into this. This is the secret. It unlocks everything. Once you get it right in your heart, you get it right in Scripture. How tremendous it is. I've yet many things to say, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do it all. He will glorify me, verse 14, receive of mine, show it unto you, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he should take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while you shall see me, not see me again. A little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Hallelujah. Father received him back. Don't strive to be pretty. Now don't strive to be ugly either. That's not what I'm saying. Don't strive to be pretty, handsome in this world, beloved. They don't appeal to God at all. The finest sight God the Father ever saw was his Son crucified, bleeding on a cross. His Father knew them. He would have his eternal wish fulfilled. It's all great, beloved. I don't know anything about heaven. I mean, I've never been there. I think probably I have some heavenly states in my heart and mind. But whatever you do, go, don't go looking for some film star in heaven with you. He'll have scars on his brow. The uglier you could be. Oh, I don't mean, you know what I mean. I hope you're getting it. Don't try and make yourself ugly. Or not. That's not what I'm talking about. Just be you. It's you God loves. He doesn't like the paint and the powder. He doesn't like the fashions. He doesn't like that. You, beloved, you could be so lovely inside. So appealing to God. You wouldn't have a big nose like mine or anything like that. Don't go for those, beloved. How cheap you are. dearly, dearly as he loved, and we must love him too. Just be yourself, that'll satisfy him. Oh, I mean the newborn self. God wants us to move right on in these things. I want to go. I'm going through it quickly. Here we go. You see, the biggest sorrow in the hearts of those men was that Jesus was going to leave them, you see. Don't go, don't go. Look, who's going to look after Matthew if you go? Who's going to look after James if you go? You've looked after us all. You've loved us. Oh, he said, there's another one. There's the Holy Ghost. You see, that's what it's all about. Who's going to still the storms on the lake, which was a reflection of my own heart, Lord? For those men in the boat, they were already dead in heart. They were all dead. He said, we perish. We're perishing. They're all dead. Filled with pessimism, filled with everything black, dark. The end. He got up and he said, peace. Be still. Jesus had shown them human stillness in the midst of a raging tempest. How marvelous. Who's going to do these things? It's so glorious when it happens. He said, they were talking and all the things they were saying, but I said, what's he mean when he says he's going to the Father? What does he mean? They don't know. They hadn't got a clue. They've been following him for 3 years. How long have you been calling yourself a Christian and a disciple? Have you got a clue? Here's the thing, beloved. It's this inner work that God works in your heart, you see. Filling you with himself. All right. Jesus knew they were wanting to ask him all sorts of questions. Just because I said, verse 19, a little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me. And they never understood that he was going to lie in the grave 3 days and then come back. They didn't realize. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep, and the men, and the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Let me make a personal comment about this. I was away in America, and all of a sudden a terrible blinding headache smote me. I did feel very poorly. The host and hostess took me off to one of their clinics, and the man looked at me and said, you've got it. I said, what? What have I got? He said, shingles. I got it from right beside the face. So if I look a bit queer, it's because I've been attacked. All right. He said, I only know of one pain greater than this, because of in my head. Couldn't bear to touch the ends of my hair. On that side it was all right. Went by the trigeminal, which you know divides. You get the left hand and the right. Stays in the middle of your chin. Okay, that side was fine. I got it. Shingles. Yeah, I only know one pain worse than this. What's that? Pains of childbirth, he said. And I learned to pity all the ladies. You men, are you listening to me? Babies, usually. Women aren't babies, men are. You don't think so? Who was the stronger of the two in Eden? The woman. That's why man so stupidly... Well, I won't say, I'm not commenting. Here is the thing, beloved. Men get a little finger like this. Oh, look on when they say, what? Here we are. He said, but when that babe, she spawned that baby, immediately it's all over. Yeah, joy, joy, joy. You now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and know your joy. No man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Now, you take this in. I've hurried through the rest, because this must abide in you. He says, you shall ask me, you've not asked. He said, I'll tell you what, you have asked nothing in my name. See? They'd asked, you know, our Father which art in heaven, that was their prayer. Prayer? You see? It doesn't say in Jesus' name. You pray this prayer. They hadn't asked. He said, you've asked nothing in my name. You, Peter, you, John, you, James, you've not asked for anything in my name. But whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that is as me, he'll give it to you. And he'll do it, and your joy will be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. It's another form of parables. I've spoken unto you in parables, Proverbs, if you like. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say unto you that I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Oh, but you believe Jesus is praying to the Father for you, don't you? You've been brought up on that. You've been brought up in what we call a proper church. He said, you won't. So, we're at another problem. Here it is. Because you say your prayers, for Jesus' sake, amen. For Jesus' sake, amen. But do you know, this is what Jesus is teaching, and this is the high peak of Christian experience. You can go in. I'm going back to maintain the relationship. I'm going back to be the high priest. I will maintain the relationship for you, because that's what the high priest did. Only the high priest was allowed to go into the holiest of all under the Old Testament regime. Nobody else was allowed in. Yet he went in for them all. All right? That's right. That's on the Day of Atonement. everybody outside, priests must be outside, you women, bring your babies, carry them, everybody must be lined up outside of the tabernacle. Thousands of them. Ram, that tabernacle. You know what they were waiting for? They were waiting for the sound of the golden bell and the pomegranate. When Aaron donned his high priestly robes again, they knew that he was alive, and they knew that they were accepted, because he went in and sprinkled the mercy seat and the very ground he walked on with the blood. With the blood. And it wasn't the blood of the lamb. It was the blood of a goat, for he was representing you and me, goats by nature that bite and quarrel. They got horns, they hurt one another. It was a wonderful day, dead silence over the camp. Hallelujah. Now that maintained the relationship, but only for another 12 months, providing they brought sacrifices to God for their own personal sins. Okay. But if Aaron didn't do it, if he died, so on, the relationship would not be maintained with God in the holiest place of all. So now, Jesus is interceding, he is maintaining the relationship between you and the Father in heaven. You can come. They all had to come individually after that, but once a year it was national. How long? For eternity. Not for the new nation. The nation of the elect and the redeemed and the sanctified. Understand what it's about. I'm afraid that so many read these Bibles of ours, they don't really understand. Bless them, so many of them want to. It doesn't matter upon how much you know. It's what you understand. For God will give you understanding. If you will go on, the measure of your understanding, if I'm acquainted with you and talk with you, will be your measure. That's it. That's the big thing. You've got to get it in, beloved. You've got to get it right into every fiber of your brain. That's the thing. And listen to this. He says, Lord, you say, oh, Jesus, pray for me. If you're a Catholic, you're born. Oh, Mary, Mother of God, pray for me. Oh, Peter, do this, that, and the other. Now, it's true. I'm sad to have to say it. But it's true. Jesus said, oh, pray for you. He said, at that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Let me take you into the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I'm beating the time if I can. All right. You remember that time when Peter and John were going up into the temple, do you? In Solomon's gate. And on the temple steps they laid the beggars begging. Peter and John were going up at the hour of prayer. I'm glad the Holy Ghost told us that. Are you absent from the hour of prayer in your church? Or not? Anything can take its place. Anything. Rubbish can take its place. All right. They were going up in the hour of prayer. And this man asked an alms. Wanted some money, please, begging for a living. And Peter said the thing that you would never say. These apostles of God, they really shock you, really. Teaching. It's gone. So he said, look on us. Now you would have said, now don't look at me, look to Jesus now, wouldn't you? That's the evangelical thing to say, oh, keep looking to Jesus. Peter said, you look on us. So he looked on them. Read it for yourself. Expecting to receive an alms. And Peter said the famous words, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Now you will have been taught parrot-like. Such as I have, give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ. All the people that pray for healing in your church, perhaps say that. In the name of Jesus. Bad reading of the scripture. He was actually there in the place of Jesus Christ. He was in the person of Jesus Christ. He was in the power of Jesus Christ. I give it to you. I have nothing to give you. They were. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. But you see, it's the way the scripture is read. The preconceived notion that runs through Pentecostal things. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. You see? That's not what he said. Learn to read your Bible is your first and chiefest thing after you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you aren't living in the name of Jesus Christ, you can't work like Jesus Christ. They think it's a sort of an open sesame name. If you say in the name of Jesus Christ, you see? Peter was there instead of Jesus. And they all were. It's so great to really read the Bible properly. So he says, I'm not telling you I'm going to pray the Father for you. He said, what? Because you've been nurtured on that. But don't continue in the ignorance. Read and read. I told you, didn't I? If I haven't told you, I've got a forgettery, really. I don't remember much. But here's the thing. When people get truly born of God, they say, what shall I read? So everybody said, well, get these daily readings, get those daily readings. You want to read that book? And I say, go away and read John's Gospel. But don't you tell them what daily reading is. That's your daily reading. The Bible is. Well, I need to explain it. You'll know how to explain it if you keep reading it. That's the secret. And we're all fed second hand. Unless we're very careful. Sort of surrogate mothers or something like that. Here is the thing, beloved. They come back and they say, I've read it. Good, now go back and read it again. And they come back. I say, well, I've read it again. I say, well, go on, read it again. And I say, about 10 times. Then I say, now read John's first epistle. That's a commentary on his gospel. Do you read it like that? You've got to see that he supplied his own commentary. Try it. Read that 10 times. Oh, when you've read that, that's John and his epistle 10 times, now start at Matthew and read through the New Testament. Don't turn to the book of the Revelation. They want to treat Revelation so it's a crystal ball and you can look into the future and see what's going to happen. Most people get it wrong. Here is the thing, you see. Read through the whole of the New Testament. I come back and say, I've done it. Say, good. Now start at Genesis. Read through the Old Testament. Then read through the New again. Have you done this? If you were in university, you would have avidly read all the books that you should read. You're in a university, beloved. If you're born again, you've graduated. You've learned that you needed to have a completely new life. Not a life punctured by your old life all the time. A new, wonderful life in God. But I must hurry. Here, let's go on. You must listen to this. You're going to have a real shocking thing. He said, I'm going to show you plainly of the Father. Because you will know what that is, of course, the cross and the resurrection. Here, he says, I came forth from the Father. Verse 27, preceding that, he says, you believed I came out from God. Like a baby comes out of its mother's womb. Carry the likeness through. Okay. I came forth from the Father, come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, look, this will astound you. It will really astound you when this gets into you. They said, lo, verse 29, now speakest thou plainly. You're not telling parables now, that's what I'm saying. Talking of the facts. No more proverbs. Now are we sure? They've been following him for over 3 years and have never been sure. How long you say you've been following Jesus? But they performed miracles. They did this. Oh, lots of people have a gift from God, not from them, and they can do miracles, healing or whatever it be. Now we are sure that you came forth from God, and needest not that any man should ask thee. We believe, now by this we believe that thou camest forth from God. They never believed properly before for 3.5 years. Look, Jesus said, do you now believe? They believed he could perform miracles. They believed he could tell lovely stories. They believed he could do this, these, that, and the other. But only by this, at last, he got them to the place. He had to get them there before he left the world. We believe thou camest forth from God by this. What does it take to convince you? What are you inwardly demanding by your thinking And by the actions you take as a result of your thinking, what are you demanding of God to prove to you? You. Not the rest of the people, you. You've got to be in a personal, glorious position about this. Don't hide. And you know, that thing, that statement brought him to the place where he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Father, they believe at last. He got them to the place of believing. They hadn't got the courage to carry it through, not them. Therefore they forsook him and fled. They'll come. Perhaps tomorrow or wherever we're going to be. No, sorry, it's Saturday tomorrow. Here's the thing. Fancy that. Fancy that. How old are you and how long have you been claiming to be a Christian? How long? It's amazing. Shall we say, it drove him to his knees, but it didn't actually, because he was walking along the way to Gethsemane, praying with his eyes open, walking. It's a marvelous thing. Father, they believe me. He says so in the prayer, which we will take on Monday, I trust. He says so. He spent all that time getting these men to believing the things they should believe. That's the trouble in churches. The things they should believe. And don't. I won't illustrate that. But that's the trouble. Oh, it was the joy of his heart to hear them say that. By this, has God got to do a miracle in your eyes before you'll be a believer? A real believer. A heart and heart and brain and mind and everything in your life testifying to it that you believe as God requires you to believe. He started his epistle on this, gospel. You know what he said in John chapter 1? Well, let me read it to you. In John chapter 1, which was a great statement that John wrote, he says this. He was in the world, verse 10. Jesus was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own. That's in the neuter gender, by the way. I don't mean he came to the Jews because he was Jewish. He came to his own things. Should be translated. That is, and that's what you get. You see, the eyes were his own things. He created them. He gave the blind a sight. Ears. He created ears. That's what he came to. Have you got an ear to hear him this morning? You got an eye to see him this morning? He created this thing called hearing. He created this thing called sight. That's what he comes to. You see? Oh, Father, he says, they believe. At last. Well, how much further has God got to go with you before he will be a believer as believers are counted in heaven? Me too. His answer is all serious. That's the thing. Now we believe. By this we believe. What you've just said has convinced us. Behold, the hour cometh, says Jesus, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and you'll leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, the Father is with me. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's all very well for you 11 men, for he dismissed Judas by this time. You're all together, and now we believe about when you're scattered away and you're not a bunch together. If you were in a lonely cell, or somewhere there was not another believer or Christian inside, what you going to do when you go back to your unbelieving father and mother, brothers, sisters? What you going to do when you're scattered? Will you tell the same tale? Well, I leave it to you. I know what it is to believe in a lonely prison cell. You understand? That's what it's about, friend. Not a bunching. Oh, it's good to come together to praise God and all that. But you, in here, you're absolutely lonely and isolated. You've existed like it, and you will die like it. Unless God brings you into his family. Understand that? And you're never alone. We used to sing a hymn. Whoever's preaching next, I shall have to apologize. It went like this, a chorus. No, never alone. No, never alone. He's promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He's promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Lovely choruses to teach children, aren't they? Lovely. Not I'm happy, let's all clap. They could be taught that in a school and not a Sunday school. You are, if you're not careful, following the patterns of the world, you see, and of your age, which is being psychologically led by the devil. Oh, but no buts. You're either following God or Satan. There's no place in between. Well, bye-bye. The Lord bless you.